Our psalm meditation today is from Psalm 5. Please turn there in your New King James Bibles.
Psalm 5, here in this New King James Bible. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Jehovah, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Jehovah, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Here in Psalm 5, as we go through here again, looking at it in context of the other psalms, we have a psalm, well, this is called the morning psalm. Last week we did Psalm 4, which is often considered the evening. And this one speaks of the morning, hearing you in the morning, or you shall hear me in the morning. In the morning I'll direct my prayer to you, and I will look up. And this is often thought of as a good psalm or prayer even, to use in the morning to set your day, to set your mind in thinking about the things of God and the difference between the wicked and the godly and what God has called us to. But again, as I emphasized throughout the Psalter, and it's important for us to, if we're going to use this as a hymn book, to understand, these psalms are about Jesus Christ. They're not just about us. Last week, as we looked at Psalm 4, we saw that it spoke to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here in Psalm 5, I would like us to turn our thoughts for the moment to the resurrection day there, that first Sunday of worship in the New Testament. And think of Jesus Christ waking up in the tomb. And this is really, meditate on this later if you have time during the day. And think of Jesus, the Christ, saying these words. Give ear to my words, O Jehovah, the covenant God, or Yahweh. Consider my meditation, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. And there in the tomb, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Jehovah. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Think of the God-man now, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, getting ready to take upon himself the role as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, raising up to the right hand of the Father, and there being the second Adam, our covenant head, standing before the Father, looking at his role now as our elder brother, the first fruits of the saved. And going on, you are not a God, speaking to the Father, who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil shall dwell with you. But he is risen and can dwell with the Father, because there is no evil in him. The boastful shall not stand in your sight, and you hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. As he takes his place as King of Kings, and gets ready to act as judge over all the earth, he looks at the holiness of God. We look at this and we think this is looking at the evil of man, but it's not. These three verses speak of the holiness of God. But as for me, remember, he's getting ready to go there into the throne room of God to sit there for us. I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. Remember that phrase, the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. Now, we often fall into a bad habit in the church of thinking of Jesus Christ in a limited way. The broader church, not just the Reformed church, falls into this badly at the times that they call the holidays of Christmas and Easter, when they think of him as a baby or a crucified, and not seeing him as the risen Lord. But the rest of the church, I believe, as I read people's writings, falls into the same thing. They think, I don't know the name of the heresy or whether this is a fusion of several. I looked it up today. I think it's actually a blending of different ones. But they look at Jesus just as the second person of the Trinity in his risen state. And we forget that he is indeed the God-man, the first fruits, our elder brother, the second Adam, holy man. And you can spell holy both ways in that phrase. There as our covenant head at the right hand of the Father. And in that role, he does indeed come to worship. In that role, he does indeed speak of going to worship the Father at the holy temple. He speaks of making your way straight before my face. For he still leads the human race. But there is no, and again, we look at the wicked now. As he takes on his role of leading God's people, he looks at the other side. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue, looking at the ones who have put him to death, those who refuse to have this man reign over them. And the sentence then, pronounce them guilty, O God. And here, this notice, it is not the covenant name of God. Here we see the judgment God, not the covenant of grace, but looking at men in the covenant of works. Pronounce them guilty, O God, and let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. In the covenant, we look at the multitude of God's mercies. But outside of the covenant of grace, they look at the multitude of their transgressions. One of those two things are going to drive every man's and woman's eternal destiny. Are we looking at the multitude of God's mercies, or are we standing in the multitude of our transgressions? That's not a light question to look at. And I bring that to everyone to consider carefully their place. But again, here's our covenant head risen on that first day, risen from the tomb with salvation paid for. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. In the covenant, we look at the covenant name of God, not just the God of judgment, but the God of grace. For you, O Jehovah, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. I don't think we meditate on God's or on Jesus' position now enough. Our elder brother, the first fruit, the second Adam, the God-man who leads us, intercedes for us, who has procured for us our salvation. He is our head, our covenant head. He is our God, but he is also our brother. Let's think of our leader. Let's sing this psalm and give thanks. Give thanks in this prayer that in this morning of a new day, this day of salvation, for us, it is a new day, and for us, it is the morning. As we, in the covenant of grace, come before our God in righteousness, brought to us by Jesus Christ. So we'll sing Psalm 5 and we'll sing version A.